We have copies.
Did you guys put all the changes I suggested?
We made a separate copy.
Can I get that?
We had that for me.
Oh, okay.
Didn't make any progress on the redevelopment. Most of the buildings.
And then we also made a copy of yours, so we have the
So Debbie's not going to be here.
I'm not quite sure.
this is switching over to college.
John, are we going to allow Kurt to show pictures before we get started?
Absolutely.
But you know, the mother in me is going to be like, I want to see the pictures.
Yeah, we ought to
go. Actually, we should have
them. We should. Right, right.
You have them right on the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good, thanks.
You can do a PowerPoint about the baby.
Yeah.
Stand by me.
And the fact that it's a boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two girls.
Anywhere you go,
Carl
Wilhelm.
Yeah.
Can you sit up here?
Okay, I got my
things
to set up. Got my tissues?
No.
Allergies or sickness? Okay. We're going to make it through one more.
I guess I've never seen that to you.
Fantastic. See the difference?
Sure. Not that
Scott, are you here?
I'm here.
Good morning. I'd like to call this 47th meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council to order. My name is John Weingart. I live in Surgeonsville in Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Jack Schreier, Morris County Freeholder.
Liz Calabrese, Bergen County Freeholder.
Kurt Alstead, public member, Chester Township.
Tim Milligan, I'm a public member also.
Glenn Vitrano, Sussex County Freeholder.
Passaic County Freeholder, T.D. Shaway. Janice Kovac, town of Clinton, Hunterdon County.
Eric Peterson, Hunterdon County Freeholder.
Tracy Corluccio, public member, Hunterdon County.
And on the telephone?
Scott Whitenack from Morristown.
And our missing members are in Italy, El Salvador, I'm not sure where else. This meeting was advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. It was publicized on the Council's website. All who wish, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have two sets of minutes to approve. Do them in sequence. The first is for the meeting of March 22nd.
I'll move the minutes of March 22nd.
Second.
Any comments, corrections? Comments, members of public? Yeah.
Yes, and one of the sets of minutes, I forget which one, where I said that methane is 23 times more potent than carbon dioxide, it was reported at 23%.
Okay.
As opposed to 23 times.
Amend whichever set of minutes that was. Yes.
I also noticed that the material I submitted was not forwarded, was not attached to the minutes. I'd like to ask you if this material I forwarded, as well as other material, if it's sent on down to the government or not.
I don't believe it is. It's sent to the council members.
We send it to the council members. We can attach it to the government's office if you like.
We distribute it to the council members. I don't believe on a routine basis we don't send all the comments we receive to the governor's office.
So you don't send them to the governor's office?
No. I mean, not on 3 weeks. We get, for instance, all the comments we're getting on the draft plan, for example, we're not giving them to the governor's office. If there are comments you'd like us to send to the governor's office, we can do that.
Yeah, the reports I sent are from Scientific American. I think from the economist about the attendance of county parks in the
ground. Okay.
Or even parks in general.
Okay, we can certainly have that.
I think it was both the same set of things. Okay.
Other comments on the minutes of March 22nd? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
Okay. All those minutes of March 30th.
Second.
Any comments on this? Shortest minutes of our history so far. Any public comments on it? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
My reports were just about scheduling. We had originally had a meeting scheduled for next Thursday and not for this Thursday, so we're having this meeting instead, and so we will not have a council meeting next Thursday. Our next council meeting, full council meeting after today, unless some other thing comes up in the interim, is May 10th at 10 a.m. We are going to schedule meetings of most committees.
May
10th at 10 a.m. We are going to schedule meetings of most committees between now and then, and Tom will be working on that. Are there comments, reports from any council members? Items? We'll turn to the executive director's report. Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your meeting packets are several materials. One is that it's financial disclosure time of the year again, so your financial disclosure information is in there. If you haven't spoken to Kim Kaiser, she has a form for you to fill out on ethics training, and there also are two ethics training courses available on the 11th and the 17th. There is it going to be a makeup, be it if you can't make either of those two, we're hoping over the web. We just don't have details on that yet. We'll get that to you as soon as we can.
Also, it will be available on the web?
We don't have confirmation of it yet, but the concept is that they've only scheduled two in-person meetings, and it's our understanding that it will have some type of makeup. We don't know if it's to be in-person or over the web, but I hope it's the latter.
Okay. So do we.
Also in your meeting packet is the Hans Council's annual report and a cover letter to the governor's office, which we do in the last meeting. This council took up the financial component of that. Also our two committee reports, just finalized committee reports that were finalized by the chairs of the TDR committee and the agricultural committee. And also just updated contact information for both council members. Kurt had a new email, and there's also an updated staff directory. Also, just want to provide just a quick overview of some recent events. We had actually a very extraordinary and interesting visit from a delegation from South Korea who were interested in utilization of GIS technology for their planning, their transportation planning. This is a province surrounding Seoul, South Korea, about 12 million people. And we had a very, although translated, interesting conversation between their planners and our GIS staff. And actually, rumor has it there may be sending a more impressive delegation sometime in the fall of higher numbers. So hopefully, it brings some council members to that. We've been doing a lot of municipal outreach. I think the municipal outreach, the one-on-one meetings we've been having with joint council, municipal councils and their planning boards and their land use boards and their environmental commissions have been, I think, very, very successful just to allow municipalities to understand the implications of the draft plan, allow them in the preparation of their comments to at least ask questions in advance of the preparation of their comments. So we've been actually out to Mansfield, ironically Franklin Township and Hunterdon, and outside of the region, towns have been asking to how they can participate, although they're outside the region. Ringwood, Greenwich, and then we also had another regularly scheduled meeting of county planners. That is all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Have the letters on the TDR grants gone out to municipalities yet?
Yes, they have.
Yes.
And so yes, those were sent to all 218 municipalities in the region.
In these meetings, Tom, you characterize it with the county planners as the discussion about the scope and content of the draft RFP. Are you going to try to capture that somehow so that we can take it into account? It's in essence public comment, right? Even though it's outside of sort of the traditional ways which we take that.
Well, actually, I can actually. We are taking notes of those meetings. We're not treating everything that's said during those meetings as public comment. However, counties have and will be submitting formal public comments. Actually, we just got in the mail Morris's preliminary draft of their comments. They're reserving the right to supplement that up to the May 11th date. I think we can rest assured that the comments that the counties make as a result of these meetings will be captured in their formal comments. And to the extent they're not, I think we can continue to keep track of that and make sure that those issues are addressed in the final plan.
And similarly, the comments by the municipal officials, I wasn't trying to focus on the counties. Okay. You say you're having these, but I would imagine these are probably more substantive conversations, perhaps, than some of the stuff we heard during the hearings. So if there are good issues and observations that are coming out of that, the council ought to hear of what those are prior to, you know, sort of making the decisions about changes or not changes.
I think it's fair to say that most of the meetings are very, very much educational. We do get some pointed questions. The questions that come from the municipal representatives vary tremendously. And so I don't know if it's indicative of the municipal petition. It's very much a learning experience. But clearly there are issues like the lake community issue that came out early in some of the municipal meetings that we identified for the Plan Development Committee as issues that we've been hearing repeatedly. So we can certainly report back on issues we hear themes emerging.
Okay. Maybe, you know, I guess if you hear something new,
yes,
it'd be good to flag that.
We certainly will. All right. Maybe one last thing related to the public comments. We have been receiving significant comments around the April 2nd deadline because of those that were preparing comments in anticipation of the expiration. So we did just last week receive extensive comments. We also know that many of them withheld their comments until the May 11th deadline.
Question. Did we ever hear back from Ethics Commission? We have directed a letter to be sent down regarding participation of elected officials in deliberations.
We have not, because that letter, although it's been drafted, has not been finalized yet. We were trying to capture the full range of potential issues so that they can tackle that letter. So we'll get that out within the week.
Is that a promise?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I had enough time to spend.
Just wanted to add one thing to Tom's report. Not only does Kurt have a new email address, but he has a new son. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you, Wayne. Everyone's doing well, and thank you for all your thoughts and comments.
Where's the cigars?
Don't smoke. It's the Highlands. We can't pollute it. We'll take care of something.
We have two committee reports, the Audit Evaluation Committee. Tracy?
Yes, the Audit Evaluation Committee met this morning. The responsibilities of the committee are outlined in various documents in great detail in Executive Order 122. We're required to prepare a request for proposal that meets the selection criteria that was approved by the audit committee that met the last time the council met. And the staff will help the division with the Division of Purchase and Property, the preparation of the RFP. And then that committee will review the RFP that goes out to vendors that are approved on the state list, and then we will evaluate those proposals. We can rank them, and then we send it back to the audit committee who makes the actual So we're in the took the first steps this morning, and we'll be moving towards, in a fairly deliberate way, putting in place the RFP and getting going on our audit. This is for fiscal year 06.
And Tahisha has graciously agreed to be the third member of the audit evaluation committee. The other committee reports from the personnel committee. Personnel committee has been fairly active over the last month or two. We've met several times and been focusing on the search for an executive director. In the course of our discussions, we also agreed that we want to meet much more regularly once there is a new executive director than we have been in recent times. We met, I believe, on March 22nd, 26th, and 30th. We advertised for resumes for the position of executive director. We received 15 applicants. The personnel committee met on March 22nd and reviewed the applications we received, the resumes, and letters and materials, and selected three of those people to interview. Conducted the interviews on March 26th, and I think it's fair to say we were all very impressed by all the people we interviewed, and thought we had really good candidates who wished to choose. As a committee, we ended up recommending Eileen Swan to be the next executive director of the council. We were impressed by her background. We feel that she has really an extraordinary set of experiences that pretty ideally match the work of the council in the coming months and years. She has an understanding of local government from having served in local government, having been elected to office in her town. She has an understanding of land preservation, having been directly involved in land preservation agreements in the Highlands region and other parts of the state. A good understanding and knowledge of state government from her work as head of the Office of Smart Growth in Trenton. From what we could tell, she seems to be a proven, effective leader in everything she's done. And beyond that, she has a clear passion for the mission of the Highlands Council. She was on the Highlands Task Force, she was on this council in the beginning. And we're impressed with all of that. I think that she will make terrific next executive director of the council, and as a committee, we're recommending her to the council for consideration. I guess that's the end of the personnel committee report, but it does lead into the next item of the agenda, the resolution to consider the directors. Before we get to the resolution, does anyone have any questions on the report? Well, then the next item is the consideration for a resolution regarding the appointment of the executive director.
Well, I'd be very proud to make that recommendation. Move that resolution.
We got it. Second. Okay. Janice, second. First, I think we have a. Yes, this is Matt. We have a resolution here that would say the Highlands Council would appoint Eileen Swan as its executive director at an annual salary basis of $121,000, which is essentially in the range that the previous director was paid, and marginally higher than the highest salary of current staff of the council. The resolution has been made and seconded. Are there comments from the council members? Any comments from members of the public? Okay. Then we'll have a roll call vote. Sabina?
Councilmember Wallstein?
Yes.
Councilmember Calabrese?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Dillingham?
Yes.
Councilmember Kovach?
Yes.
Councilmember Peterson?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Councilmember Petrano?
Yes.
Councilmember Way?
Yes.
Councilmember Wander?
Yes.
John?
So, Scott?
Councilmember Whitney?
Yes.
So there are 11 votes in favor, and so the resolution passes. We'll work with Eileen to arrange a starting date as quickly as can be arranged. Thank you, everybody, for participating in this process. The other item on the agenda, the only other item is public comments. The only item we've discussed when we went to comment on.
Go ahead. I just had a couple of things. I think it would be appropriate if we took some sort of position and forwarded it to the governor regarding this proposal that's floating around for a moratorium of building in the planning area. This is some responsibility we have. This moratorium is directed, aimed directly at us and the activities we're doing right now. I'd like to see if any other council members agree with me or not, but it seems to me that we shouldn't be silent on the issue.
Let me put a point. As far as I know, the council members have not been directly involved in this discussion at all. I don't know if they reached out to the staff at all. My understanding from talking to the governor's office is essentially what's been in the newspaper is the governor asked the commissioners of environmental protection and transportation to look at whether there were projects in the planning area that were going that might go forward in the absence of a Highlands plan that might be detrimental to the region. And there's no deadline for when that report's supposed to be submitted soon. There was no statement about what action would be taken once that information was submitted. But that's where it stands now. That doesn't answer whether we should or shouldn't take a position. I'm not sure what we would say at this point.
But wouldn't our staff be the most appropriate people to be involved in this type of discussion? If we've collected the level of science-based research, planning research that we have collected, shouldn't Lisa Jackson be knocking on our door? Or do we need to maybe ring her doorbell and just remind her that we're here? I just think it's going on all around us. It directly impacts the goals and the objectives of the Highland Act and the regional master plan that we're developing, and it seems to me we shouldn't be silent. We should be weighing in, based on facts, not based on emotions. And it seems to me we should be doing something to quickly derive some facts and suggest to Lisa, well, we don't have any evidence that suggests that anything is happening, or yes, there's a critical land mass that's being destroyed right now. I think it's wrong to be silent.
Mr. Chairman, I was contacted by a member of the press last week, toward the end of the week, on this very question and asked that question. And I fully complied with the request, and I think that my comments are going to be published probably today in the recorded newspapers. I was not shy about expressing my displeasure at that request. I thought it was an intrusion into our process. Completely agree with your thoughts on that. I think that it was stepping over the boundaries that not have been formally set, but that we all understood to have been set. And I made the point that we were not in favor of this, certainly I'm speaking for myself, that we were not the Highlands Water Protection and Banning Council. We're the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. And I thought it was outrageous that such a request would even be considered by the governor. Frankly, that was my personal reaction. Since then, I've gotten excited about it. I kind of left it like that. I thought that was all I should say because, as Evita said, I said too much, I'm getting into trouble. But I agree with you, Kurt. I think that this is a position, if you want to poll the council, I would be in favor of having my comments recorded, but it's up to the chairman.
I don't agree with Mr. Schreier. I don't see why
groups can't advocate for one position or another by the governor in regard to a moratorium. It's the right of the public to do this, and the people, you know, out there on the ground, living in the towns where these applications are moving along, have every right to try to protect themselves from projects that may not be in concert with our goals under the Highlands Act and our regional master plan. So I don't agree that we need to take, that we should be making comments. I don't think that individual council members should be speaking for the council on this, number one, because we have not made a decision as a council. So I do hope that when we see Mr. Schreier's comments in the paper, it does not say we for the council, because I certainly do not agree with that decision. And as Kurt points out, we haven't taken a decision. I think if we want to look at this issue, it would be helpful for us to direct the staff to look at what development projects are moving along. I don't know that our staff has been tracking ongoing development projects except through a process that is already in place in terms of applications to the DEP under the Act. So I don't know whether this would represent a body of work that would divert attention of our staff at this very critical time from completion of a regional master plan or not. And I would like to have the answer to that question before we go further into, you know, taking a position or not.
Is there a way, Mr. Chairman, to sort of split the difference? I would agree with Tracy that I don't think that Jack's comments should be taken by anybody who represents the sense of the council. I think it's unfortunate that when a council member gets attached to his name, they might be interpreted that way by the public. But first of all, I didn't hear Kurt take a position on the issue. I heard him ask to be involved in assessing. And perhaps the way to do that is to request that the commissioner of DEP and the commissioner of DOT also share their evaluation. That's what I read in the press, that they've been asked by the governor's office to evaluate what the ramifications of this are, in a sort of a neutral stance. Maybe that analysis would save our staff from being diverted from the work that they're ongoing, but also give us some sense of what the questions are that are at hand.
I think that's a good idea. I have offered to the governor's office that we'd be happy to be helpful in any way we can, but I don't know how to, but that was sort of general. But I think probably to offer that and to say exactly what you said, we would like to be involved with that, and if there's a position to be taken, I think it's probably something we should discuss in a committee meeting between now and our May meeting, and then consider what that would be. My sense of it was that what the governor was being asked, what the governor was responding to was a press conference by the Highlands Coalition and other environmental groups, and what he was being asked to do in essence was to some extent to change the terms of the law we're implementing, was to revisit whether the timetable or the restrictions on development in the planning area should come in sooner than the law provides, and that our role is to implement the law as it is, and if that changes through executive order or legislation, that would certainly change our role. But it still makes sense for us to be involved in the discussion and contribute any knowledge we have, though I do think we don't want to get our staff diverted into away from working on the regional master plan.
I think it's important that we establish that we are an entity that has to be engaged in this discussion. I mean, it would be like NASA wondering what's it like to walk on the moon and not speaking to Neil Armstrong. I mean, if our job is tasked to develop this regional master plan and we're supposed to have the expertise to do it, and there's a major question now circling through Trenton and the executive branch about what to do in this plan here, how can we not be engaged?
Right. Well, we'll make that clear to the governor's office in a letter and to the two commissioners. If there's more action we should be taking, there's nothing much to react to other than that at this point, let's say. We'll give them our input and ask to be, I assume they would keep us involved, but ask to be kept involved. Good idea. We'll do that. Further comments?
I've got one more thing.
Yeah.
11 hours of labor, you come up with lots of thoughts. There's I've had some informal conversations with Tom about stormwater regs and the impact that the Highlands Act has on the stormwater regs in the Highlands region, and in particular how that impacts agriculture, because the stormwater regs address agriculture in one way, the Highlands Act treats agriculture in another way. The off-the-cuff answer was, well, the Highland Act supersedes the stormwater regs in the Highlands region. Bottom line is it has an impact on agriculture, and I think that, that the industry needs to get a clear picture of what pathway needs to be followed with stormwater regs. You know, is the pathway now the Highlands Act and the provisions in the Highlands Act for ag rules, or is it still the stormwater regs with an overlapping of Highlands, and but there's a little bit of conflict there. So I think we need to get a clear direction. I don't know if we want to direct this towards the Ag Committee to research, but I think it's something that we all need to be cognizant of, because I'm sure there'll be other instances where there's existing rules in the Highlands Act and which rules apply. Do you have a recommendation?
Well, we are scheduling an agricultural committee. We did receive some additional agricultural grants, so we do have agenda items. So if you'd like, we can certainly add that as a discussion topic to the Ag Committee's meeting.
And clearly it's going to involve input from our legal counsel here. Okay.
Sure. We're on to it.
Chairman, any more thoughts from the delivery room?
My thoughts are as a result of experience of 11 hours of labor. And this could be done offline. I was just wondering if our counsel can just, Tom Borden or Kim, just give us an overview of this new ethics thing we have to sign. What's changed since the last time we had to sign it? Kind of more in the layman's terms, you know, a little snapshot view of it. It's,
Kim's here. She can give a brief overview.
I had the same feeling. Yeah, believe it. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure I can really give a brief overview in that the two. One is the Uniform Code of Ethics, which is new as of September of 06. So this is the first time you have been distributed this. And this is pursuant to Corazine's Executive Order number 1. So this is the first time you're seeing this. It's not a simple document, which is why there's another document there called the Plain Language Guide to the Uniform Ethics. and the receipts that they've asked for both of you. They're not significantly different from the code of ethics that the Highlands Council had originally established for itself. And that those were probably the ones that we signed for originally. Okay. And as a matter of fact, we are going to be discussing this in the subcommittee as to whether we're going to retire the Highlands Code of Ethics and just use the state form. So it is very similar to the code of ethics that we had. It covers recusals and post-employment. What you can do, and conflicts of interest and things like that. So it's very similar to the Highlands Code of Ethics that we had before, but this has all been promulgated under Executive Order number 1 of the Governor's Office.
Is this going to be a yearly thing? Once this is signed, this is it. We don't revisit it again, or
unlike the ethics training, which is annual, you only have to sign this.
One thing I wanted to mention, that Tom has suggested, I think it's a good idea, for our next meeting, for the next full council meeting on May 10th, we would have a council meeting at 10 in the morning, and then have a session in the afternoon, sort of a work session on the regional master plan. Particularly, we'll use new members as an excuse to have this, but I think we could all benefit from sort of going back over what the requirements are, what has to be in the plan, and where we are on getting those things together, so we do that sort of informal session. Members are particularly interested being in that. You can't be there that afternoon. Just let Tom know, and now we'll try to find a different time.
And that will be a public session?
It'll be a public session, but less formal. Any other comments before we get to public comments? The members of the public would like to speak. Yes?
I just have a question. When is the next CDR committee?
Tentatively April 19th, but we're just formalizing the times for the committee meetings. So I guess we'll have that on the website, I would think, by Monday.
Right, so it'd be either the 19th or the 26th.
Okay. 19th or what?
20th. Or the 26th.
26th?
Either one of those. We try to have Thursdays be our committee meeting, so 19th to 26th.
Yes, sir.
Would the Highlands Council could have some type of expedited waivers, so if you have properties that were mistakenly put in the Highlands, so if it's a planning area one site, like on Smart Road maps, and it comes out that there's a planning area one that's going to be buildable, that we don't have to wait a longer time frame?
There isn't a short answer to that question. If you talk to a member of the staff right after the meeting, we can see what's possible with it.
And thank you.
That's everything. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Andy Drysdale, Chester Township. My wife and Lois and I live and own farmland at 32 East Fox Chase Road in Chester, New Jersey. We have been trapped in the preservation area since August of 2004. Some of our land is now in the conservation zone of the regional master plan. Before I discuss this further, I'd like to set the record straight regarding the minutes that were approved at the last meeting, March 22nd, 2007. I should have gotten here a little earlier, which I did today, and caught the mistake and omission at that time. The minutes said that I had been a surveyor since 1988. Well, this would make me about 27 years younger than I really am, and that would be a good thing. But the bad part is that the real point and the very important part of my statement was entirely missed. My reference to 1988 was as follows. As a land surveyor, I've been contracted to locate wetlands flags and groundwater monitoring wells as far back as 1988 that were required by the DEP long before the unfortunate McGreevy administration even existed. This important point in that statement was that the undeniable evidence in my records shows much was already being done to take good care of the environment, and the Highlands Act was totally unnecessary. Regarding the regional master plan, any plan that proposes 1,000-foot buffers, and I don't know if you still have that in there, around vernal pools, or condones draconian regulations that were put in place by the DEP, such as 3% impervious coverage and 25 and 88 acre septic requirements, needs to be put in the trash can along with the hideous Highlands Act. As for the misguided people who created this act with no funding in place to compensate those who would be harmed when their constitutional rights were violated, they must be voted out of office as soon as possible. As for the rats involved, they must be caught and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Thank you.
So we have two hands up, so we'll call. Okay, go ahead.
Morning, everybody. How are you? I'm a farmer. We farm 150 acres in Tewksbury. We're in a preservation area. Mr. Wingert, you talk about two different groups of people who turn out to the public meetings in a newspaper article. He claims the first group had specific concerns and questions about the master plan and had read the document and made helpful comments to be examined. He also claimed the second group had not read the document and that they wished the Highlands Act had never been passed. What group are the farmers in? Was this article a polite kick in the guts? If you are saying farmers fall in the second group, shame on you. By now you know we are not looking for anything more than making the Highlands Act fair for the people paying the price. We have read the act. Thank you very much.
David Shope, Long Valley. A couple of things. At a subcommittee meeting, I raised the issue as to whether your staff was considering existing perk test data, which resides in either the municipalities or the counties, as the case may be, and determining land use, and the answer was no, and you don't intend to do so. Now that there's more of the committee here to hear my comments, I will raise them again. This is valuable data. It resides in the files of either municipal or county offices. It should be part of your determination as to what's buildable and what isn't. The septic design is where it begins. You dig a hole, you see how the ground perks. You design a septic system around it. Seems to me that is more valid in terms of where you can build than counting trees. I would hope you would reconsider it. You were there when I made the comments, Mr. Weingart. In yesterday's Star Ledger, I was pleased to read that New Jersey is going to cure its unemployment problem by hiring more government employees. We already have the highest ratio of government employees to the rest of the population of any state in the union, and we're going to improve on that mark. And we wonder why we're broke. We are broke because essentially this state has, in the past 10 years, has been run as a criminal enterprise. Read about what's happened to the pension funds. That was in yesterday's New York Times. That's how this state is being run. And quite frankly, this Highlands Council is an appendage to this operation, here to abet the crime. Thank you.
No further public comments. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion. Second. Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all.